Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Triple Chalice Tarot for our weekly Saturday show. Tonight, we're going to be talking about divination and different forms around the world. So, Tarouk, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Okay, so I want to start off by asking you all, what is your personal definition of divination? I'll start with mine. My personal definition of divination, I look at the root word of it, which is divine, and divine is the essence of the universe. It is the divine. So to me, divination means receiving answers from the divine. You know, you have the divine come down to you and speak through you or through your divination device, whichever you use, and give you the answer. So I'll start with Rowan. Like, what is your definition of divination?
Well, like you said, it does come from the root word divine, but I think it's also similar to witchcraft in the way that it's using mundane items to foretell something supernatural. So it can be anything from playing cards to sticks to mirrors to candles. It's using anything mundane for a supernatural benefit for yourself. It can even be something as simple as an instinct, you know, that voice in the back of your head, you know, the pinpricks at the back of your neck if somebody's staring at you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What about you, Aluna? What's your personal definition?
Well, to tap right off of you too, it definitely taps from the divine source in that collective unconscious, as some people know it. And it's about finding that space, energy, and moment in time and collectively bringing it forth to provide some sort of insight. The biggest question is, where does divining come from? It dates back prehistorically when our ancestors had nothing but the stars and the constant rotation of seasons. So there was a collective conscious attachment between the people of our planet and something greater out there. So tapping into that energy, tapping into that sort of receptive right brain all has to contribute to divination. So now what do you guys know of the different many forms of divination? Like, there's so many different words to describe divination forms. I'll start off with a few. Well, we know cartomancy, which is using playing cards, tarot cards, or oracle cards to divine and seek some sort of guidance. There's also crystallomancy, which is reading from crystals and spheres, okay? Chiromancy, which is palmistry and reading of the palms. That's just to name a few. What about you, Rowan? What are some of the different forms of ways one can use to divine or divinate?
Well, there's also pyromancy, divining by fire. It's basically just scrying, but with fire. You can also use electrical lights as well. I had a friend in a coven that I was in that used to do it with Christmas lights, actually. And it's basically the same as like reading the stars, but it's you read the lights instead. And there's
very
also hydromancy. Yeah. And there's also hydromancy, which the ancient Egyptians used to do. And it's just gazing in a clear reflective pool of water and seeing events to come or visions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Tarouk?
Well, we all know about runes, you know, Nordic runes. Those are very ancient devices that were used. We all know about the pendulum, you know, which swings back and forth. Palmistry, you know, using, you know, the palms of the hand. There are, you know, of course, numerology, which is very popular, even using tea leaves. You know, you have aura readings as well. So, yeah, there are many, many different forms. So I have a question for you all. Do you think the power of divination comes from the actual device that you use? Do you think that the device holds the power, or if it has some kind of power to it, or do you think that it is just a tool and that it all comes from the person, or the person that is a channel for it and really doesn't need the tools? Or, like, what do you think? I'll start with Aluna.
Okay, yeah, very good question. I was thinking of it in reference to transferring energy. So you have built an energetic relationship with your tarot cards. You've built an energetic relationship with your crystal, scrying mirror, pendulum, charms, whatever you call it. You've built this sort of kinetic energy transferring that you, in that moment of time and using that device, were in the mind frame of looking to divine, peering for answers, seeking honest and sincere guidance, okay? So the cards, the crystal, the runes, they pick up on that energy, and that is how I think most readers become better and better and more accurate and more accurate with their progression towards providing accurate readings, you know, because it's, you have such a relationship with the tool. So I think it's a bit of a symbiosis where you're giving and the, you know, the cards are receiving and they're also giving back and providing answers. What about you, Rowan? What do you think?
I think it goes back to the spiritual truth that we're all connected. We're all one. So we all have that connection with each other, as I am, so is everybody else, et cetera. And so we all have access to the Akashic records, let's say. And I liken the ability to divine and, you know, foretell the future, et cetera, to that of being able to throw a stone. You know, if you pick up a stone, you can throw it, and maybe you'll get it pretty far. Maybe you might be a good shot, et cetera. So you already have that innate ability. But if you take, say, a slingshot and put the stone in the slingshot, you can throw it even farther and with more accuracy. So that's all these tools are. That's all tarot cards are, is a way to focus that inherent ability that we all actually have and maybe have forgotten about, for sure. Mm. What about you, Tarun?
Interesting.
I definitely agree with you all. I definitely think that it is like both ways. You know, you do have the inherent ability within you to channel the power of the universe, you know, and call on that through you, and you use the form of divination like cards or, you know, a crystal, a stone, whatever. You use that kind of to interpret it. But I feel at the end of the day, you are the one who is the conduit. You know, without you, the cards mean nothing. Without you,
exactly,
there is nothing to be seen. So at the end of the day, you know, I do believe that we all do have the power to, I guess, you know, use, we could use these tools, but, you know, we are the ones that possess the power. So, I mean, and I guess this could bring another question. Do you guys feel like these tools are not as necessary as maybe some people might put emphasis on, you know? What do you guys think?
Aluna, do you want to go first?
Sure. So I think of it like you said in the previous, when we previously discussed about being a condo. And a lot of times, if you just have energy spewing all over the place and having no real direction as our minds and consciousness work, because we're thinking about work, we're thinking about home, we're thinking about food, we're thinking about next week, we're thinking about what happened yesterday. So we're dividing all of our energy in this rapid chaotic form and all over the place at any given time, that I think cards, crystals, and even taking a meditative, reflective position in a time and space, maybe some quiet time for you to meditate and reflect and to receive visions as well, because one can dream visions and receive apparitions or visions. And it has to do with stepping into that space and giving your energy that direction towards that. And I think the cards do provide that insight and that channeling, as well as the crystals, mm-hmm. as well as the scrying mirror. So it's about, it's like Rowan said, using, you know, we're all collectively, you know, united. So it's about uniting yourself with that tool, uniting mm-hmm. yourself with that moment, and uniting yourself with that ability and tapping into that. What about you, Tarouk? Mm-hmm.
I completely agree with you. I do feel like, well, for me personally, I want to develop, you know, using these methods of divination, but eventually I want to break free of them and be able to just go off of images that I receive from the divine. You know, I would always, you know, come back to you know, crystal balls and, you know, cards, but I eventually want to be developed enough, and I feel like these tools help us develop that enough mm-hmm. to have the confidence, because it is all about confidence at the end of the day, how confident you are in your ability, and I think
right.
these tools help us with our confidence. So mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you know, I want to develop the confidence to you know, not need to use the tools. You know, I would want to use them, not need to use them, you know. Mm-hmm. So what about you, Rowan?
Mm-hmm. Well, like Luna said, it is about getting back to that meditative state. It's about aligning yourself with the universe, with the subconscious, with God, with, you know, whom, whatever it is that you believe. You have to get back to that peaceful state, because otherwise it's not going to read. It's not going to land. If you're putting your faith in, you know, this super special deck of tarot cards, then you're putting your faith in the wrong place. The faith should be within yourself. And it may be cheesy, but even if you look at, like, the Disney movie Pocahontas, you know, Grandmother Willow is telling Pocahontas, Kwe Kwe Natara, you will understand. Listen to your heart. You will understand. And it's all about listening to that inner voice, because I've divined with playing cards, which is PPS, what the Romani people used way back in the day, and that's how tarot cards got developed. The playing cards can be just as powerful as the tarot cards. It just has to be your state of mind when you were reading. I've divined by wind before. I've been outside and didn't know where I was going and just shut up and shut my brain off and listened and followed it, because nature is the most powerful diviner of all. Even the ancient Romans used to rely on bird calls and bird signs and this and that. And, you know, mm-hmm. people would read storms in Scotland. I mean, it just depends, you know.
Yes, yes, yes. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Okay, so now I want to ask you guys, your personal experiences, what tools have you used in the past or even now? I guess I could start with myself. Mm-hmm. Of course, I started with tarot cards and scrying. Those were kind of at the same time I started with those two forms. As far as scrying, I first started with a dark bowl of water, and I would sit there for maybe 30 minutes to an hour just looking at that, trying to see, you know, trying to see what type of images I would, you know, see in the water. And it is a time-consuming thing to learn how to do. You must have patience when it comes mm-hmm. to, you know, using a scrying device. You know, if it's a bowl, a dark bowl, a black bowl, preferably of water. You know, it's not giving in your first try. You're just gonna start seeing, you know, visions and you know, things moving around and things of that nature. You know, these things take time to develop and patience, and it's kind of like, you know, riding a bike or learning a new language. You know, you're not going to get it on the first day. And a lot of people, they give up and they're like, well, I don't see anything and this and that. Well, you're not trying hard enough. You know, you have to be consistent. Okay. So yeah, I've done the tarot. I've done the scrying, with water. I've done the fire, you know, with candles, or you take a bowl, you put, alcohol, in there and you light it and you just watch the flames, or, you know, even the smoke sometimes, you just let it hypnotize you, you know, and it is your state of mind. So I think really those are the main three. Oh, and also I've also gazed into the air, you know, like I could be in my room and have the lights completely off, and I just look into the darkness, you know, and I let the, because in the darkness I see static, you know, static little just particles,
yes.
and they form images to me. So those are really the main forms of divination, plus dreams, of course, that I have used. So we could start with Rowan. So tell me the forms of divination that you've used.
Well, I consider divination to be one of my specialties. I think we're all gifted with certain things, and divination is definitely one of them. The ones that I have had the most success with are definitely the tarot cards. They're the ones that work the best for me. I have tried scrying before with several different mediums. I tried scrying with a mirror, with a black scrying mirror that I painted myself. I tried scrying with a gemstone, with a bowl of water, etc. The mirrors don't work for me. I love mirrors. I think that they can be great focusing tools, but I cannot see anything in them other than my own reflection. Gemstones and water work the best for me. I find a lot of the time that natural media works best. So water, fire, air, earth, etc. These are all ways to really let go and give yourself over. A good gemstone, and this is a common misconception when people get a sphere from like a store for scrying, you do not want something that is perfectly clear. You want something that has contrusions in it. You want something that's maybe looks like it's fractured on the inside. So that way when you put a candle next to it, you're able to see patterns and shapes, and it really helps you to focus. I have a piece of obsidian that's about palm size that I bought offline, and it works amazingly. You just set it up and stare at it, and I can go for hours. My sister, though, is able to look into a mirror and see all kinds of things that I've never been able to see. It's very, very impressive. So I think different things speak to different people. In the past, I have had visions that have come to me unbidden where I'll be staring into space, or I'll be staring at a pool of water, or I was on a boat and just like the sunlight reflecting on the water. I mean, it just depends. It depends on your mindset at the time. If you're meditating, generally speaking, you're going to see more. If you're, you know, forcing yourself to do it, you'll probably see less. But it depends on the person. What about you, Aluna?
Wow. I was just thinking, I'm like the lamest one out of you two. No, not really. I started with using crystals and meditation. So small crystals, holding the crystals, because when I was first kind of introduced to spirituality in general, it was more about learning to meditate and quiet my mind and receive visions. A lot of time I've used music and meditation to go off and journey, astral travel a lot of times. So, but tools, I would say crystal balls. Okay, I actually own a crystal ball. It's a cherry quartz, and a lot of people, controversially enough, believe that that's not really a crystal ball. Some say it's glass mixed with copper, but it's a sphere, and it's clear, but it has all sort of swirls and clouds on the inside that are red, and it looks very beautiful. It actually looks like I oftentimes, when meditating with it and having a candle put next to it, it looks like the universe. It looks like a piece of time gazing into a nebula itself. Okay, so it takes you, I mean, I've zoomed in, I've zoomed out. It's not my most strong suit, though. I would say tarot cards is my more strong suit, because with tarot cards, like Tarouk was saying, it takes time, learning, dedication, and practice. The same thing with scrying as well, but at least with the cards, you do learn the definitions, you do learn the terms, you do learn to connect, you know, whether consciously or subconsciously, the different messages and symbols, and they're a little bit more concrete than sometimes the whirling visions that you sometimes see in the crystal ball. So those are my favorite two. I've tried pyromancy as well, and found myself journeying. I've also use the mirror, but I find that the mirror is a little bit distracting for me. I think Rowan said that as well. It's a little bit distracting for me because maybe I'm just kind of getting into myself in the mirror. So,
I know what you mean, for sure.
So, yeah, those are my favorite two. Did you answer, Tarouk? You did.
Yes. And you know what's funny about the mirror? You know, I've read somewhere that if you gaze at yourself in the mirror, that you can see the face of every past life that you've ever lived. I read that somewhere. It's very interesting. So I have a question for you all. What advice would you give to a beginner in divination? I'll start first. Well, like Aluna said, you know, when it comes to tarot card reading, of course, you know, you have to take your time. You have to, you know, learn each different card and also trust in your inner voice when you see these cards and you see the imagery and the symbology, and you have to let that inner voice speak to you and guide you and not be afraid of what you are receiving and saying that to a potential client or customer. You know, a lot of people are afraid of, you know, maybe this isn't the right thing to say, maybe I will upset this person, but you have to speak what you see, okay? That is the most important thing to do when it comes to tarot card reading, especially when you're in the zone and these symbols are just knocking in your brain and you're just getting these messages. You know, you have to do that. Now, as far as scrying, I would say for those out there, you know, I speak from experience, you know, I say relax your eyes, because a lot of times I would look at the ball and I would find my eyes just intensely wide open in pain, because, you know, you just don't realize it, but your eyes are just like bulging out of your sockets, you know, trying to see something. You have to relax your eyes, dim them. Yeah, it's true. Dim them low, okay? Dim them low like you're almost falling asleep. Relax them, you know? And you have to let a white fog appear over the darkness of the ball or the pool of water. Let a white glow appear. It's like a fog, okay? And when you see that, you're in the right track. And now you just have to let the images come. And it's not going to happen in one try. You have to continuously do this. And with a purpose, too, you know, you just can't look into that ball or mirror or pool of water and with no question. Ask a question. Mm-hmm. If you know how to communicate with spirits, call a spirit and ask the spirit, show yourself to me, you know, and have a paper there and at least 5 questions that you can ask the spirit or the universe that you want to see something, you want to do some remote viewing. But have a clear and concise question when you're gazing into the mirror or the ball, you know, and it's just about patience and time, and relax yourself and breathe, okay, and trust in yourself. So, yeah, that's really my advice to a beginner out there. We can go with Aluna. Give me what you would tell somebody, you know, a beginner when it comes to divination.
Well, I think going off of everything that you said, I think what's really important is to define why you're doing what you're doing. A lot of times it's okay just to be interested in something for the novelty of it, but respecting that it has a system, respecting that it has a formula, respecting and understanding that you're going to have to apply time, and also accepting yourself in the faults that you may make, because I can tell you it's a bit of an ego knocker to do a reading for someone and them kind of, it just doesn't flow, which happens to all of us. So if you're just starting and you take your friend or say coworker or someone that you know, you say, oh, I just want to do a reading for you, I'm practicing. Understand that you are practicing. It's constantly a learning process. It's absolutely okay to make mistakes. You are, from the mistakes, I will say that I've saw more in that than constantly getting it right. You know, I was able to really see more of a deeper in-depth meaning than just, okay, telling someone, you know, about the Seven of Swords. Well, oh, well, it means, you know, keeping something to yourself, going off, you know, thievery, bribery sometimes. But then they see it all connected together in a big picture, because when you brought that to someone, they didn't even know what you're talking about. But later on, you were able to make the association. Is very rewarding. It is. So learn from your mistakes, be proud of your growth and what you've learned and acknowledge, and take it slow. It's no rush and it's not a rat race. So that's my advice.
Definitely. Just to finish up, I will say that it is about the feeling that you get from a tool. And like Aluna kind of said, you know, when, you know, she bought her orb, people would say, oh, well, that's not a good crystal to use. There's no wrong crystal to use, regardless of whatever the crystal actually means. If you like
Absolutely.
It, if you find it pretty, if you like the contusions in it, if you like the way it hits the light, buy it, because it's meant to be yours. If somebody tells you you need to start with the Rider-Waite deck, you know, but you don't like the Rider-Waite deck, don't buy the Rider-Waite deck. Try something else. You know, if oracle cards speak to you over tarot, get oracle cards. It's all about what makes you work, not what you make work. And that's very, very important to remember. If scrying doesn't work for you, then scrying doesn't work for you. It just is what it is. You know, move on to something else. There are so many ways that you can utilize your natural environment around you that you don't need to worry about the right way, the wrong way, et cetera, because it doesn't exist. All that exists is your way, so you have to discover it.
Absolutely. Okay, so very quickly, I just wanted to discuss some, you know, of the ways other places around the world do divination, you know, in ancient times and even modern times, you know, different places. I read that in ancient China, you know, the oracles used to look at a tortoise shell and divine in the marks of a tortoise shell. And also, you know, they used to do divination of the face. Like, they would look at your face, look at your features of your nose and your eyes and your mouth, and then they could tell your future that way. Also, you know, and the native peoples of, you know, Mexico, I think it was Rowan that was talking about this, that they used to look at birds, you know, the way that the birds flew, the songs of the birds. They would draw their conclusions from that also. And the Maya as well, they used to, you know, intake cocoa, like coca. They used to intake tobacco and this other thing called maguey. And they used to have, you know, visions, okay? They used to, you know, intake psychoactive natural, I don't want to call it drugs, but psychoactive natural remedies or things of that nature. And also crystal gazing they used to also do. What do you know about some ancient ways of divination, Aluna?
Well, I did some research on those in the Caribbean and Afro-Brazilian influenced or Afro-Caribbean influence of ways of divination. And they use a lot of shells, you know, their association with the sea and them being very island-oriented places. They used a lot of shells. They used gems. They used a lot of sea-giving jewels like pearls and the clam shells and things of that nature. So what one of their most inspired was the Krawi shells. The Krawi shells, and they look like a lot of times if you've seen someone with the beading in their hair that wears their hair in dreads, those are those type of shells that they use. And they would toss them in the mode of a natural, they call it a maroon. I don't want to butcher the name, but it is a sacred circle where they toss the conch shells into or whatever shells that they're using, and in placement of those shells, they were able to divine the future. If you've ever seen Pirates of the Caribbean, okay, which is probably the most popular association that one can make, the goddess in form that appeared as Calypso, she was using the crab shells and conch shells and crowy shells that are represented in the Caribbean divination system to do her reading. So, yeah.
Okay. What about you, Rowan?
Well, I believe they also used coconut as well. But I think, I don't know if that was because of the Ifa religion that was brought over from Africa or if that was just what inherently they did in the islands as well. But I know some of my Santorian friends, they also use coconut as well as the Kari shell, and I think that was it. But the ones that I read about was really from, had a European influence. I know that in Italy, the stregas, which were the Italian witches, would make sacrifices and cut open animals and read their entrails that way, which is pretty gory, but apparently it worked for them. The Greeks used fire, used pyromancy. The Germans used, the Norse and the Germanic peoples used the rune system, which was, we still use to this day, and it's just symbols drawn on a disc and then thrown out, sort of similar to the Kari shell. And the Irish people, the Gaelic forces and tribes, etc., used the Ogham script, which is similar to runes, but they're different. They also read birds. In England, wells and scrying was very popular, looking into a natural body of water and seeing the other side was popular because they believed that the other world was achieved going through water. I'm trying to think if there were anything else. I think that's all. Oh, and the Romans used augurmancy as well. I think I said that earlier.
Wow, amazing, amazing. Well, we only have 20 seconds left, you guys, so thank you for listening to us. Stay tuned in for next week, Saturday, for our Exploring the Suits of Swords. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Have a good night.